Mishlei Perek Gimel, the next six psukim are connected one to the other. B'ni al yaluzu me'einecha nitzoil tushia umezima. The warning or the azhara or the recommendation starts with the word b'ni. Many times in Mishlei you have that expression. It's an expression of chiba, and it's a didactic expression. In other words, b'ni is also like talmidi. It's a sign that there is a person of authority who is inculcating, who is teaching, who is guiding, and it's not too late. That's also part of b'ni. That mekena chaltz leonin. Now, he in Mishlei is talking to everybody, so everybody is a begeder b'ni, even if you're 95 years old, mekena chaltz zayin b'ni to Mishlei. The Shloimeh HaMelech. B'ni al yaluzu me'einecha nitzoyo tushiyo umezima. Al yaluzu me'einecha, it should not stray from your eyes, and you should preserve, nitzor, to keep, to preserve, tushiyo umezima. Torah is called tushiyo. Gemara says, and we learned it a long time ago, Torah mateshes koicho shel adam, and mezima is really from the word Vasisim loikasha zomam, which means to plan, and mezima are the plans or the thoughts of the Torah. Very interesting that the Targum on the idea of mezima learns that it's min zima, it protects you from zima. It's interesting. But zima itself is basically the Eitzah of the Yetzer Hara. That's why it's called zima, because it's the zmama, the kasha zomam of the Yetzer Hara. So mizima is the positive thoughts, zima are the negative thoughts. So nitzar tushio mizima, v'yiyu chayim l'nafshecha v'chein l'gargiroi secha. The very often gargiroi secha is used in the sense of an ornament around the neck. But the idea here is that the Torah is chayim and chein. Very often we have chayim, chayim, v'chesed, v'rachamim, and so on. Chayim and chayim are in many ways substance and the superficial. But chayim in this particular case, and in many times in Mishlei, is given a certain place of prominence, a certain place of importance. For example, you have... Chayin in the past and a number of other times here, that there's an inyan umitza chayin v'seichel toiv be'ein elikim v'adam, and we say it in our Birkas HaMazon at the end in the sense of v'nimtza, may we find, and the pasuk it says umitza, find it, you know, in other words, go after it. So in everything you do it, and you have to have siyata d'shmaya for it, so it could be umitza, you have to do it, v'nimtza, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should provide us with the siyata d'shmaya. But it's very interesting, chayin v'seichel tov be'ein elokim v'yodam. Now, in Yiddishkeit, there's no such thing, really interesting, because that's part of Kiddush Hashem, that it's enough what is in Halzen or what people don't see. And there's no inyan that they have to see that I'm an Erlich Hayid. It's the opposite. They do have to see. And that's the chayin that is in contrast to the chayim. Chayim is who you really are. And that's your pnimius. And the pnimius almost no one can see. But it's l'cha'ayra sufficient to have a kesher with the Ribbono Shel Olam. Ma'inav kemina v'siyena tracht. What do I care what the other person is thinking about me? But you see in halachas like marisayin, you see in halachas like chashad, these are categories in halacha, that's not the case. There is an inyan that the other person has to think highly of me in my avodas Hashem, and not think the worst of me. So even though there's a rule that you're not allowed to be choshed, choshed b'ksherim loike b'gufay, and it's a person's chiyuv to be danis kala adam lekaf zechus, we think that that's enough? No. You have to have chayin. And chayin is appearances. You know very well what the Vilna Gaon says. I'll repeat it again. Sheker ha-chayin ve-hevel ha-yoyfi. Sheker ha-chayin. Sheker is connected to chayin. This is, of course, not the right kind of chayin. This is the chayin that comes from physical beauty. So there's a certain kind of yoifi that's objective. The whole world will be maskim that this is a standard of beauty in a woman, l'moshel. Because that's Isha Yiras Hashem. We're talking about a woman. So by her, if you're thinking about her yoifi, what do you call it? Hevel. Why don't you call it sheker? Because yoifi is real. You can't call yoifi sheker. It's true. She is beautiful. But it's hevel. Without Yiras Shamayim, it's an empty shell. It's nothing. It's worse than nothing. So hevel is associated with yofi. Because you can't use the word sheker with yofi. It's not sheker. It's emes. But chayin, you can use the word sheker. Sheker ha-chayin. Because chayin is in the eyes of the beholder only. It's not really there. So the Vilna Gaon teaches up a chazal. The Gemara says, Esther Hamalka in Megillas Esther. Esther yirakrakas hoisa. She had a complexion that was not appealing. A greenish hue. A greenish complexion. Ella. She had chayin. So how does the Gemara know this? Because the pasuk after she says that she's the yofa mikol anoshim, right? Says vatehi Esther noises chayin be'enei kol rayeha. Why does Esther have to be noises chayin? She's beautiful. The Torah says the beauty that Esther had was the conviction of people who looked at her, but it wasn't real. Because if you had some objective standard playing without that chayin, they would not have considered her beautiful. But her beauty came from some inner kayach that made people imagine and think and feel that she was beautiful. Ad kedei kach, that she was the one that was chosen for Achashverosh. So the Vilna Gaon says, because the pasuk says, Vati Esther noises chayin, the Gemara learns from that she really was not beautiful in the totally objective sense, and that's why the Gemara can say that Esther yirak rakas hoisa. So he teaches the pasuk without yirah shamayim, sheker hachein, vehevel hayoifi. The chein that's in the eyes of the beholder is not real; it's sheker. The yoifi that is real because it's objective. But still, it's hevel. It's empty. It's worthless. But you can't say checker. So here you have a very interesting thing. That chayin, how you appear in the eyes of the beholder in Yirah Shamayim, in Avodas Hashem, is important. And the reason is obvious. Because a person is a model of the Yiddishkeit that he believes in, and the Ribbono Shel Olam that he serves, he is the Eved Ne'eman. And how the Eved appears, it doesn't always matter how he is internally, because that's not enough. The one who watches, observes, looks at him, has to identify him as such. Because if he sees someone that is, Pnimius could be Gevaldik, but is putting on a deliberate show to obscure his greatness, and blind the person to his qualities, it never remains neutral. If I don't see a person's qualities, then I see chesroinus. Where are the midos tovos? Where is the yirah shamayim, I ask? Where is the limud ha-Torah? Imagine a person, I'll give you an absurd example, but imagine a person has some novel, not a dirty novel, Rachmana Litzlan, but stam, a novel, an Irishkeit. But the novel is really just the cover. Inside there's a Gemara. And he's sitting there holding up the Gemara like this. And everybody that's looking at him sees that he's reading a novel. So someone told me just today that he was coming back from Eretz Yisrael on the plane. Next to him sits down. Pretty impressive looking gentleman with a beard, adults. And they get to talking to each other. And he asks, you know, where are you going? He's going to America. He's a Rosh Yeshiva in Yeshiva in Yerushalayim. He's going to collect monies for the Yeshiva. All right? A noble and difficult task. Anyhow, so what is this person doing in the 11 hours that you're on the plane? He has this new little computer, and he's playing games. The ganze 11 hours. It could be stop the daven, maybe to use the facilities, basically. He didn't tell me. But he says the neighbor sat there and he played these computer games the ganze Zeit. And then he asks, sort of asks him, like my high, he says, well, it's new, I'm trying it out. He's testing it. 11 hours of testing, that's pretty impressive. So imagine the roshem that this made on my friend. It's pathetic.
Maybe the female passengers were not chesniastic. He held it was awesome to learn from them.
Listen, anything is possible. And that's the inyan of being dan lekatz chus. But the fact of the matter is that if somebody's holding up a novel, even though there really isn't a novel there, it's a gemara on the inside. But people will come to the conclusion that he's sitting and doing nothing in Zimavatl his man. And that is the opposite of a Kiddush Hashem. Now, of course, what happens if the opposite occurred? That the binding was a gemara and the inside was a novel?
That's how it works.
I don't know which is worse. Abba Lemaisa, you know, there's a very famous expression from the Satmar Rav. Satmar Rav came to America, and Fashteitzach, he was used to Yidden who had the Levush, the whole nine yards. And he comes to America and he starts talking and learning, and he sees their Yira Shemayim, and they're dressed completely out of character. So he says, in the Gemara it says that Halavai, it should be Toichoi Kebarai, that the real Pnimius should reflect what appears on the surface. He says, in America you have to say the opposite. Halavai, that Baroi should be like Toichoi, that the outside should, you know, reflect what's inside. But really the truth is that's Chen. Chain is an important ingredient in Yira Shamayim because you need to establish a Kiddush Hashem wherever you go. And if you will not have that perception issue, you will not be able to establish a Kiddush Hashem, and most likely the opposite will occur because people always like to fill up empty boxes. You put a person into a pigeonhole. There's no such thing as remaining neutral. You make judgments. Do we have the right to make judgments? Perhaps not. But the Metzias Hadvarim is that we negotiate through life bichlal by making constantly evaluations, and that's how we manage. So when we have a person, we're going to look at the person and imagine who he is, even though maybe we're not entitled to do it. Might even be osur, but we do it anyhow. So that person has to appear kosher v'yosher. And that's chayim. So chayim and chayim are almost opposites. And of course chayim is chayim. You can't be without chayim. But you can imagine you could be without chayim. No, it's not so. Now you understand, nefesh is a pneumistic thing, and your neck is something obviously that you hang an ornament, a necklace around, a jewel around your neck. That obviously is something for other people to see. And what will happen as a result? You will be able to pass through life with security and confidence. Interesting that the Evan Ezra learns that tigoif is not in the passive sense. Your feet will not be hurt by others, but v'aglocholoi tigoif, you will not damage your feet. It's like much more positive. It's a poel yotze, he says. Emtishkav loy sifchad, if you will rest, you will not be afraid. When a person lies down, he becomes very vulnerable. It says here, you won't be afraid. V'shachavta, and you'll go v'shachavta in tishka. So it's v'shachavta. V'shachavta means you fall asleep. You lie down, you're not afraid, and therefore you're calm, and you fall asleep. V'arva shnasecha, and your sleep will not be disturbed. Your sleep will be pleasant. Altira, now I always have this hergish, and I think that all of us have the same hergish. You know, you're in a neighborhood and you feel strange. And all of a sudden, you turn the corner and it's a store that you've gone to many times. But you're not familiar with the neighborhood, but the store you know. You feel good. A familiar face, a familiar place. Here's a familiar pasuk. You know, you could be learning these psukim. How many times did you see the pasuk "Bini al yaluzu meinecha netzar tushio mezima"? But now we come to a pasuk that everybody knows: "Al tira mipachad pisaim umishoas rishoyim kisavo." You know that we say this after Aleinu. Some people say it. Some people say it in other places. This, of course, was when Mordechai went into the Beis Medrash to the Tinoikei Shel Beis Rabban, and he asked them to tell them, what psukim did you learn today? So one of them said, this pasuk, Al tira mipachad pis'om, umishoas rishoyim kisavo. The next one taught him that he learned the pasuk, Utsa Eitz of the Sufar, Dabu Dovah V'layokum. And the third one learned the pasuk, Vad zikna nihu v'chulu. And this was the proof that the Yeshua will come. And of course, Haman got very agitated and excited, and he decided that he's going to go first after the Tinoikei Shel Beis Rabban. But of course, his plans were thwarted. But this was the remez to Mordechai that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is still with them and they should not be afraid. So the first pasuk that was quoted was by the Tinoikei Shel Beis Rabban to Mordechai was Al tira mipachat pis'om umishoat shoshoim kisavo. Pachat pis'om and shoas rishoyim are also different in the sense that pachat pis'om is something that you didn't expect at all. You did not await it, you could not anticipate it, it's something that came out of the blue. Yet sometimes you have a person that was good, 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 and all of a sudden the next day, for whatever reason, it becomes your yesaine. And some people, chassidu umasolvam, and then suddenly they turned, whatever the reason was. You have an interesting, not that he was ever righteous, but his attitude towards the Jews went min ha-kotze la-kotze. Person by the name of Martin Luther, not Martin Luther King. I'm talking about Martin Luther. Anyhow, the Martin Luther had a havamina that the Christian Church was right if the Yidden, and this was part of the whole papal establishment and the cardinals and all of that, and if he fixes things, reforms things, and gets rid of the papacy, and goes back to the roots of the Bible, and because of that, what they call Rachman al-Itzlan, the Old Testament, is going to have a certain greater measure of weight and prominence as a result, then the Jews will become Christians. His kind of Christianity they'll be willing to absorb and adopt, even though they were nirdaf ad karma, by the old kind of Christianity. Of course, when he discovered Loi Dubim V'Loi Yar, that it's not happening at all, he became a Meiridik Hesseinei. I mean, and you know, the same thing happened with Muhammad. It's a Meiridik Hesach. So the people who suddenly turn and you don't realize it, that's Pachad Pisal. But Shoas Rishoyim is where you see the thing beginning and developing, Rachman al-Itzlan, like you see in the Maisa with the Third Reich. You saw that there was one act of anti-Semitism after another in the smallest measure of things, and then they grew and grew, and then it was Kristallnacht, but they still weren't gassing people yet. But if a person had Mayach Bereishai, he could understand that no good could come of any of this, and that there's a greater danger. The Shoyatz Rishoyim is yet to come. So he said, don't be afraid of it. Ki Hashem Yiyah B'Kislecha. This word kislecha is an incredibly interesting word because it has two very different interpretations. Obviously, without even knowing what the word means, we can anticipate what it means by looking at the context. Ki Hashem yiyah b'kislecha v'shamar aglecha milochad. Hashem will protect your feet from being ensnared, from getting into the trap. So what is ki Hashem yiyah b'kislecha? Hashem will be with you. He will protect you. But Hashem Yiyah B'Kislecha, some learn that it comes from the word kisil. Kisil meaning a fool. Right? Take a look in the Bir Hagra, Mishlei Perek Gimel, Pasuk Chavav, in the middle. Right? Ki Hashem Yiyah B'Kislecha, ki Adam Nichshal Ba'Aveira. The Vilna Gaon is learning that this is not a physical danger from Rishayim who are trying to do you in physically, materially, but he's learning that the Russia that we're talking about here is the Yetzer Hara. He's also a Russia. And he's trying to entrap you. Sometimes we are aware of it, and sometimes he comes suddenly upon us unawares. Zakta Gra. Let's backtrack a little bit from Altira Mipachat Pisam. Kiderech ha-pachat lovoi pisayim shemitchilo loy shama klal v'achshav shaymeya sheyovoi ha-shoydeid. He says, you're in the house and everything is peaceful and quiet and all of a sudden somebody breaks your window and comes into the house. This is a sudden moment of fear and anguish. That's pachat pisayim. Kiderech ha-pachat lovoi pisayim sheyovoi ha-shoydeid, but you don't know until you hear the noise of the shoydeid. But you, altira min ha-pachat sheyavoy kaidem hatzara pisayim. He says, before the robber gets to you, before he has a chance to mug you, you're already scared out of your wits because you heard the noise of the breaking glass. He says, don't be afraid. U'mishras rishayim kloim ha-chakach kasher yavoyo rishayim v'nigrishu kayom. And when there's a wave of attackers, you know, you already see them, all the bandits descending upon you. Gam ken altira. The Goyin, of course, has these parallels which he carries through Kemat the entire Sefer Mishlei. So he says that there is a relationship between one pasuk and the next. He groups them into psukim and into structures. So here he says it's keneged pnimius and chitzonius. Bezes Hashem will have time to look at that a little bit more carefully in the earlier Goyins. But in the next Goyin, ki Hashem yiyeh b'kislecha. That's how he interprets it. Remember I told you that some interpret that it comes from the word ksil? This goes back to Rashi on the pasuk. But the Gra follows that mahalach, and he says, "Kloimar b'mesha atok kisil, that you are an ignoramus, but zeshe eincha yodeya apal pikein loisi koshel ki Hashem yia imach ushmor raglecha milochad shlo yilkaducha b'mitzayda v'yizgaber alecha v'hu neged hamitzvos v'gam kein pnimius v'chitzainius." So, what does he mean? If we're talking about the Yetzer Hara, that the Yetzer Hara sometimes comes upon a person unannounced and unawares, and sometimes you're very cognizant of his presence. Like, in which cases is it unawares, and which cases is it cognizant? So, the Gaon himself, in a number of places, points out that many times the Yetzer Hara is mislabish in the tzura of a Yetzer Tov. There are a lot of times that people do things which really are primed by the Yetzer Hara, who's trying to undermine you in one way or another, but he sees that he can't get to you to just simply do Averis. You're not nichshal in Averis. I don't want to do Averis. So he says, you know what? I'm going to make him do mitzvahs, and the mitzvahs will be Averis. I'll give you a few examples of such a thing. Person's father is coming to visit him in the yeshiva. The Yetzer Hara is going to say to this fellow who's learning in the yeshiva, you know, you're going to be Mevatel Zman. You're going to be Mevatel Zman. What's going to be with you? Or he tells him, do you know, says to him, do you know what it means? Tainis Dibur. You know what it means, Tainis Dibur? You know how much schus you could have that you don't say a word? This week you should prava tainis dibur. Except for divrei Torah and tefillah, you don't talk to anybody on earth. Not to your friends, not to your rebbeim, nobody. All of a sudden the father shows up. So, Yankala, how are you? You understand? Or, I'd love to talk to you. I know you came 2,000 miles to see me. But Torah is more important than anything else. That's what I learned at this yeshiva. You understand? I mean, so that's maybe a silly example. An unlikely example, shall we say. But there is, in fact, a whole range of things that you could imagine also where the Yetzer Hara convinces a person. The Vilna Gaon had a rule. How do we determine if it's so? How can we tell that it's really the Yetzer Hara? So sometimes you go to the Mashgiach of the Yeshiva and you discuss it with him and he points it out to you because he sees things from a more objective perspective. But how do you know? So the Vilna Gaon has a very, very remarkable pshat on the words by Naomi and Rus come out of Moab, right? And Rus wants to go with Naomi at all costs. And Naomi's trying to deter her. He's trying to say to her, you cannot go. Go back to Moab. What are you going to do with me? They hate you in Beis Lechem. And you're just going to be a burden on me. And nobody will accept you. And there's a whole tumult. Amoni v'loy amonis has not been established yet. You're not going to have anybody to marry. You'll be all alone in the world. And she is insisting. And the pasuk says, Vatera. And Naomi saw, ki misametzes he. How do you teach misametzes? So most mefarshim say misametzes comes from be'imutz halev. Al chet shechatonu be'imutz halev of stubbornness. Sometimes it's a chet. In this particular case, she was stubborn. She was insistent. She was strong. And she says, no matter what you say to the contrary, I am going with you. So that shows a certain strength, an eisner will, an iron will, that she's going no matter what. The Vilna Gaon teaches mamish punktvaket. Mamish punktvaket. The Vilna Gaon says that misametzes means that she was struggling. And the Vilna Gaon says that if you see that something toiv comes too easily and there isn't a tzadcha keneged, what happened to the Yetzer Hara in your ear? What happened to the Satan trying to mess you up? Why is it so easy? The Teretz says, because this gufa is the Yetzer Hara. So if you don't have that tzadcha keneged, you should know that the Yetzer Hara is making it happen. Now, in her case, says the Gra, some of the things that Naomi said made a roshim. And Rus was beginning to vackle. She was beginning to waver. And when she saw Naomi, that Rus is committed, but that she is fighting with that commitment, she realized that it was from the good part of Rus, and she stopped talking to her. She stopped trying to dissuade her. It's a remarkable shot. They say a maisa, halacha l'maisa, so to speak, that this came true when the Vilna Gaon was approached by Reb Chaim Volozhiner to build the yeshiva. And Reb Chaim Volozhiner came with this incredible plan, and he was extremely enthusiastic, and his commitment to it was unbelievable. And of course, he's not going to move an inch without the bracha and haskama of Rabbeinu HaGadol. So he came to the Gra, and the Gra was passive to a fault. And he did not support or underwrite it at all. Didn't say anything against it, and he didn't say anything for it. An entire year passed by, and Reb Chaim Volozhiner approached him again, and then he gave him his bracha. And the reason he said was, I wanted to know where this is coming from. And when I saw that you were so enthusiastic, I saw you were so enthusiastic, I was afraid that maybe this is an Atzas HaSotan. Why should it be an Atzas HaSotan? Because any enterprise that's changing something, is making a revolution of sorts, could always come from a negative place. He was taking people away from their homes, away from their environments, away from the Bate Knesios or Bate Medrashos that they grew up in, and he was making one place for them to sit and learn. What if Chas V'Sholom, the Rosh Yeshiva of that place, would be no good? How many people would be turned upside down? Because you have now a whole collection of young Talmidei Chachamim. Or what about the communities that they're coming from that now are not neh from the ziv of these young Talmidei Chachamim who used to be sitting and learning in their own environments? And what about families that needed that older figure of a young Talmid Chacham to inspire their siblings? And so on and so forth. You could imagine 100 things. So how do you know that it's not the Eitz of the Yetzer Hara? Or maybe a person wants to, without even realizing it, become a Rosh Yeshiva. What, is it not enough that you should be the head of a couple of Talmidim here and there in the Beis Medrash? You want to have the major yeshiva, the yeshiva of all yeshivas, the mother of yeshivas. No, Efshad das aninyan from covet. But whatever it is, that's the nekuda of not knowing. That's one kind of not knowing the yetzer hara. There's another example of this sort of thing. A person goes over to Shas, and he says, by next month, I'm going to finish Maseches Brachos. 3 months later, I'll be finished with Shabbos, and another 3 months for Erevin. And he makes himself such a cheshbon, and it sounds gevaldik. But really, it's the Atzas HaYetzer. Why? Because it's not really humanly possible. He's fantasizing. If he learns Yoimim V'Laila, and even if he has a terrific head, he's not the Vilna Gaon. They say to Vilna Gaon, the famous Maisa with Simchas Torah, that he still had to finish Shas, and the year was almost over, just Simchas Torah to Simchas Torah, finish Shas. And he was learning Zochim and Achas, and they began to learn Zvochim, and in the middle of the night he already finished with Zvochim, and he was starting Menachas, and somebody was watching him, and he sees how he's turning the pages, and he thinks he's making Litzanus of the Torah, and he got very upset. He comes over to him and he says to him, how could you learn like that? It's the Chbamish Bizei Bizyainis. You can't learn like that. You have to learn seriously. This is not a game. It's not a joke. So he says, that's how I learn. So he said, do you mind if I ask you a few questions? So he asked him about a certain Gemara, and of course he repeated the Gemara and the Rashi and the Tosfos and whatever. And he realized that he's dealing with somebody that's, you know, Les Dain Barnash. This is somebody that's extraordinary. And yeah, Bekitza, towards dawn, he finished Maseches Menachos as well. So you can have the Vilna Gaon. They say, my sutra pam, that a certain bocher was depressed. And he was walking around and he wasn't learning. He wasn't learning. A high school boy. But pam at that time was teaching in the high school. Zechonu levracha l'chayei olam haba. So he asks him, what happened to you? You're such a good... So he says he was reading a biography of the Chofetz Chaim. And how the Chofetz Chaim was at the age of 17. And he sees that he's nowhere near the Chofetz Chaim. And it's making him very depressed. So he says, I heard this on the tape. I yelled at him. The way Rav Pam yelled at somebody, it was like somebody else giving a big kiss, you know. I yelled at him. And I said to him, you are not the Chofetz Chaim. You will never be the Chofetz Chaim. You're not supposed to be the Chofetz Chaim. You're supposed to be you. Sometimes the Yetzer Hara points him in the direction of learning 100 blot that month or that year, because he knows that he'll fail. And it's going to lead to a depression, to a frustration. And frustration leads to aggression, the psychologists say. And the aggression is against the Torah. I should rather not have started altogether. I'm not cut out for this sort of thing. And Fashteitzach, that not cut out means legamri. So instead of taking it in the measure that is appropriate for his level and his capacity, and having the hanoah and the gishmak of achieving things slowly but surely, the Yetzer Hara blinds him to his inabilities and inadequacies, fantasizing that he's capable of things that are far beyond his capacity, really, in the end only to knock him down, and then he has him where he wants him. Because that kind of kishlein, which leads to an abandoning of learning Torah, opens up a whole opportunity for the Yetzer Hara to keep going and make him a choite and maybe even a machdias rabbi. This is, of course, also another opportunity for the Yetzer Hara to take a small avera and build it up. The Rambam, in the end of Hilchos Tumas Saras, when he speaks, you know, famous Rambam, that he speaks about the unusual circumstances surrounding Miriam HaNeviah when she spoke against Moshe. And he points out all the positive aspects. She wasn't trying to hurt him. She was just giving him Musar. And she saved him and she waited for him when he was a baby. And on and on. And she was a Neviah. She brought so much good and blessing to Klal Yisrael. And Afal Pikein, for saying these words, HaKadosh Baruch Hu punishes her with Tumas Saras, Kal V'chomer, that we should worry about Lashon Hara, when it doesn't have any of those positive things. But then he continues and he says, you start with a Lashon Hara, you end up being Kofer Be'ikar. It's an amazing Rambam. Because normally we imagine, so I did an Aveira, Megvefot Vaito. But an Aveira is the key to open up a Pandora's box. And you never know what the next is going to be and where that will lead. So the Yetzirah, sometimes seeing that you can't do something big, convinces you to do something small. But really what he has in mind is the big. And that's unexpected. The small maybe you can expect. You can contend with it. But realizing that it's very small, you say, Nishkefelach. But from that Nishkefelach sometimes comes months and maybe even years later, a real catastrophe. That is Gefelach. And that a person would never entertain. But it's a slippery slope. And this is the whole idea of the Yetzirah. And you can give many other examples of it. But it suffices. The Yetzirah sometimes comes at you and you don't even know. You don't even know. I'm just going to add one more example. Aisha Shamur Leba'alav L'Ra'asa is a perfect example. Yetzirah, or not Yetzirah, but sometimes things that appear to be in good packages are really very dangerous and very undermining. There are many people who, when they were poor, had a much better handle on their children. I remember Maisa Shahaya, that somebody was very, very rich. What do very rich people have? A car, no matter how much it costs, doesn't likely cost much more than $100,000. So what's $100,000? It's like a drop in the bucket. So you have to have a plane. You have a plane, and your children, when they get a little bit older, they're not going to ask for the keys to the car. They're going to pilot the plane. So you give them lessons. So this very, very wealthy man who had an einikel, and the einikel was a tchotchke of a boy, and of course he wanted to pilot the plane, and he slammed into a mountain, and that was the end of the einikel. If we could turn the clock back, imagine if the person didn't have any money, then he would not have had the plane. You know, you never know. In Ruchnius, it's also like that. Somebody grew up on the Lower East Side, children were fine. And then he picked himself up because he made a fortune in the market. He lived on the Lower East Side, the Spinach Meshuggah, and he moved out into the island somewhere. Modern Orthodox community, not the community. It was his transition, maybe, whatever. But anyhow, the kids got lost in no time. In no time. Yetzirah convinced a person, the Satan Mamish. I was living on the West Side. This person was a Holocaust survivor. He had one son. I'm telling you, I don't know of another example in my entire life that I encountered a young fellow who had what you might call every single mila in the book. He was handsome, beyond handsome, brilliant, beyond brilliant, and a Yerei Shamayim, and a young Talmud Chacham, and the potential for him to be a flower in Yiddishkeit was unbelievable. Father got himself a juke in the head that he has to go to the University of Pennsylvania. I'm a shugana. I was a youngster myself at the time. I don't know if I was more than 16 or 17. And I was giving it to Daf Yomi on occasion as a substitute in the West Side. And this person also used to give to Daf Yomi. So we knew each other. The father I'm talking about. When I heard of his plans, I said, I can't sit still. So for hours we walked and we talked and we walked and we talked. Said, go nicht geholfen. I pulled out every stop. I said to him, you don't take chances with things like that. You can't be confident about anything like that. He says, I know my son, and we have a Gvaldika Foundation, and he needs to get an education, and Bekitza, I don't know if he married a Jewish girl. And it happened almost overnight. The Yetzirah, the Satan, has many tools in his box, and some of them are almost invisible. That's what the Goyin means and what the Mefarshim mean when they say, Bekislecha. That even unawares he can come upon you and disrupt your entire life. Ushmor raglecha milochad, shalo yukaducha b'mitzuda v'yizgaber alecha. He should not trap you and overwhelm you. You know, it's very interesting also. There are two kinds of Yetzirah reactions, if you will, of how the Yetzirah works. One of them is equivalent to a mitzuda. Mitzuda means that you walk along and you think that the ground is solid and there's leaves on the ground, the old, you know, bear trap kind of thing where there's a pit underneath, but there are branches covering the pit and it looks like the leaves have fallen in the autumn and there's no problem whatsoever. I can easily walk across. And then you walk across, and in the middle, you suddenly fall right down into the pit, and you're a goner, you're trapped. this kind of ensnarement, of entrapment, does not hurt you right away, but you are taken over. That's the point. Then there's something with the Yetzer Hara. It simply takes a knife and sticks it into your stomach. Which is worse, you can't really know for sure. Because a lot of times when you belong to the Yetzer Hara, you're altogether finished. So Yilochid, that image of being in the trap, you know, where he has you by the throat, this is an extraordinarily powerful image of how the Yetzer Hara sometimes works. I wanted now to continue. So let's just review. The psukim are saying that if you preserve the Torah in the pnimius, in the chitzanius, in the Torah shebichsav, in the Torah shebal peh, in Torah and in mitzvahs, it will give you chayim and chayin, and it will protect you from, and give you the security and the confidence, protect you from the eitzah of the Yetzer Hara of the Satan, and you will even be able to rest and you won't be afraid. Just want to point out what that means symbolically also. A person who's lying down is the most vulnerable of his matzavim. When he's asleep, alachas kama v'kama. You know, what happened with Yoel Eishes Chevra Akeni, we learned in the Haftarah. Yoda la Yosei Tishlachna, she took the tent peg and she banged it into his head. He was a very powerful and extremely capable and vicious general who had terrorized and maimed and hurt thousands of people. And now he was vulnerable and helpless to such an extent because he was fast asleep. Inspired, the sleep was inspired by drinking milk after a maisa, and the bottom line is that he was totally zonked out to such an extent that his vulnerability was like that of an infant baby. And she simply took the tent peg and smacked it into his head. And that was the end of Sisera. So when a person is asleep, of course, he's totally vulnerable. The imagery here is that Avodas Hashem builds up a person like vitamins and like, what are they called when you get an injection that prevents you from getting the flu? A vaccine. It's like a vitamin and a vaccine. What's the difference between a vitamin and a vaccine? A vitamin gives you strength. Vaccine gives you protection. Torah does both. They're both vitamins and vaccines. And when you have that, even when you are not actively fighting the Yetzer Hara, there is in the inherent person who is an Oved Hashem the koiches to withstand the onslaught even when he's most vulnerable. That's the Pshat Torah Megina Umatzila. And it is the theme of this Altira Mipachat Pisaim Mishoas Rishoyim Ki Savoy. Reb Tzedek HaKohen in Breishis Parshas Vayetze. Vayetze Yaakov Vershova. So you know what happened to him. He went to a very bad place, but even before he got there, he had already encounters. And in that moment of encounter, there's also the idea that he went to sleep. Vayifga b'amokim v'yolim sham. So this is what the Medrash says. Reb Shmuel ben Nachman Pasach. In some Mefarshim say that whenever you see in the Medrash the word Pasach, it's because since Torah shebichsav iatar ashoy la'omrim al peh, whenever they quoted a pasuk, they actually took out the sefer and read the pasuk inside. So Pasach means that he opened up the sefer Torah or he opened up the Tehillim. Right? Some say Pasach means he started his drasha with the following Pasuk. But it's very remarkable, and you should learn, maybe you don't know this yet. Every drasha, kimat, begins with a Pasuk from Kesuvim. Very interesting. You look at the Rabbeinu Bechaye, which is many, many centuries later, and you see his psichus to each parsha, again, with a pasuk from Ksuvim. It doesn't have to be bedavka from one part of Ksuvim or dafka from the other. Very often it is from Mishlei, because it's a didactic thing. But very often it's from Tehillim. It could be from Kehelas. It could be from Shir HaShirim. But it's kemat always from Ksuvim. I think the reason for that is because when they are giving the drasha on Shabbos for the Hamonam, they knew that they had Torah, they had Nevi'im, because of the Torah and the Haftarah. So they gave a drasha based on Ksuvim. So they would have Torah, Nevi'im, and Ksuvim. So the drasha of the Rav introduced the Pasuk of Ksuvim. So here he has Reb Shmuel ben Nachman Pasach. Which pasuk? Very, very well-known pasuk. An old friend, as I said before. Shila malos esa einay elaharim. Elaharim lemilafonai ulama avronai. May ayin yova yezri. Eliezer b'shor shoholach lohavi esrivka ksiv bei vayikacha eved asara gmalim. Vani loit samid echad v'loi nezem echad. Yankov Avinu is talking, obviously. And he says, when Eliezer went to find a wife, he came laden with all kinds of gold and silver. And I don't have a single piece of jewelry to give her. That's me'ayin yova yezri. Esayin elaharim, I look back to what happened with Avram Avinu, and I realize that he sent Eliezer full of goods, and I have nothing. Rav Chinina Amar Gidud Shilcho, Rabbi Yeshua Amar Shilach Imay El Shomad Esav V'Natlan Mimenu. Rabbi Yeshua is the one who says that famous Chazal that he encountered Eliphaz, and what happened with Eliphaz? He wanted to kill him. He said to him, "Ani Choshev Kemeis," and he was Zeichet that whatever. But in any case, he let him live, but he took away all of his possessions. So by the time he was past Eliphaz, he had nothing, even though originally he started with Schar. Chazar v'Omar, ma ana moivit sivri min biryi? Am I going to lose my hope for my Creator? Chas v'sholim, les ana moivit sivri min biryi? I am not going to lose my bitachon. Ela ezri me'im Hashem oisei shamayim v'aretz. So the transition from me'ayin yovei ezri until ezri me'im Hashem is the monologue that Yaakov Avinu is having with himself after this incredible crisis, and now he has nothing, and he's supposed to go find the shidduch by Lavan. He says, "No, I trust in Hashem ezri me'im Hashem oisei shamayim v'aretz. Al yiten lamoit raglecha," etc., etc. So now it says there later, Hashem Yishmer Snafshecha Mimalach Hamavas, Hashem Yishmer Tzeischa Vayetze Yaakov Miber Sheva. Zok the Pritzad, the Kriptzadik HaKoyim. Yeah. Quotes the Pasuk as Telech Levetach Darkecha Im Tishkav Le Sifchad. As Telech Levetach, the Medrash continues, Ze Yaakov, Dixiv Vayetze Yaakov. That's the halicha levetach. Im tishkav leisifchad meyesav umilovon. V'shachavta v'arva shnasecha v'yishkav b'mokam ahu. Reb Shmuel ben Nachman Pasuk Shil HaMalos says, "Sa'inei lahorin." That's the chazal that I just quoted. Lahavin apsicha, the next paragraph. Lahavin apsicha leparsha zu. Hinei b'mishlei kosuv kaidem lazen nitzar tushiyo mezima. V'hainu ha'etza shel divrei Torah sheyoyol yishomem ha'etza hara ke'inyon she'amu im pagach b'cham nuvul zeh moshcheyu lebeis ha'medra shemeven hu nimuach. It's a chazal in Gemara in Sukkah, which we've learned many times. V'al zeh bo psichas ha'medra shrabo al ma shenema v'yetza yakum b'be'er shava v'yelo charona she'mashmoz ha'posuk merames she'bein kach nitman b'beis eivir l'ilmoy Torah ki'hoyol elichto v'yelich yakum b'be'er shava l'choron k'mo she'kotsu ha'mefarshim. So the first thing the Pritzadik says is that the Torah was what provided him with that measure of protection and confidence, just like it says in Mishlei. See, normally we would say that's Yaakov Avinu. And not only that, what does he need new Torah for? He has all the Torah of Yaakov Ishtam Yoshev Ahalim, if the Torah is supposed to provide it. So Vayis Dois, that what the Pritzadik is saying is that his going out of Be'er Sheva was for the sake of learning Torah, and that made the difference. Even if he possessed Torah, but it's the going itself for the sake of Torah that protected him. Then he says, Vaita, That's the Gemara in Sukkah before that has its different names, and one of the names is Evan, like Yecheskel says, Val Yedei HaTorah Im Evan Hu Nimuach. Right? Vasiraisis Leva Evan Mibsarchem. And he goes back to the beginning of that sugya in Mishlei, a pasuk yutes, the psukim that we learned the previous weeks. And he goes through it, and then he speaks about betvuna is Torah shebaal peh, right? And then he speaks about bedaitei tomis nivko. That's a remez to Mabuya Chochma Lisata. In other words, the Torah Shebichsav and the Torah Shebaal Peh, that's Chochma and Bina, and then there's Das. Chakach Oma HaKosu B'ni Al Yalozu Me'einecho, Kinyum HaShenema Al Titin Sheino Le'einecho, Sha'Torah Shebaal Peh Nikne B'Tzar U'Miyut Sheino, Kama Shambu B'Medrash Tanchuma, V'Yoshiv Batul Ki Yoshin Domi, V'Hainu Shelo Yesiach Daitoy Me'ha'Tayra. So he says, "Bni al yolozu meyenecha." Why do you use the word ayin? So normally we would say because that's what you use to learn. But since most of learning is Torah shebaal peh, and in those days it was not written, so why do you use the word meyenecha? So he teaches up that meyenecha means al yolozu meyenecha means your eyes are closed when you're asleep. So he says, the miyuchena, the not sleeping, that is what we are talking about, al yolozu meyenecha. Don't allow yourself the rest of the weary, because the Torah requires that you should fight and struggle even against sleep itself. That's al yolozu meyenecha. Interesting pshat. V'acharkach, omar kach, v'acharkach netzor tushio mezima, v'isa b'gemara tushio dvarim shel tohu, the Gemara says, why is it called Tushia? And there's a few reasons. One of them is that which created the world. The Torah was the blueprint of the world. Upirish Rashi, Dibur v'karya ba'alma ketoyu hazeh v'afal pikein oylam mushtas aleihem. He says, all Torah is words. And afal pikein, the entire universe is established upon them. Well, mezima isa b'gemara my mezima ilema toira dechsev zima zima he hachi ka'ama midavar zima tishmar alecha. As I told you before, that it's min zima mezima. They teach min zima. It protects you from znus. Vezel nitzar tushio mezima neged anoichi shekolo kol atoira kula. Shadibur anoichi nichlal kol atoira kula, as it says in Shir Hashirim Rabbah, belibam, v'zehu nitzar tushiyah, v'neged lo yiyye, kol kol mitzis lo yisaseh, sur meira, v'zehu mezima li notzel midvar zima. So he says tushiyah and mezima is mitzis asay and mitzis lo yisaseh. V'yu chayim l'nafshecha, he explains also. But what I wanted to get to is v'achakach oma al tira mipachat pisam. Look at what he says. Shall lifamim mislabesh yetzer hara bilvush doiresh toiva. Remember, I spoke about it in the context of the Vilna Goins, batera kimisametzes. That if you don't have a yetzer hara fighting something good inside of you, it's a simon that it may not be so good, and it might itself be the malbush of the yetzer hara dressed up as a yetzer toiv. It's exactly here the pre tzaddik, Reb Tzaddik Akoy. He says, "Lifa'amim mislabesh hayetzer hara b'levush doyresh toiva u'malamid la'ayil." U'kamoshim etzinu b'Yakov avinu alav hashalom ketalmid chacham nidmeloi. The sar that was nisavekimoi. V'zehu pachad pisam she'eino yola alev she'zehu atzas yetzer hara. He says, why should anyone ever have a Yetzirah that he's afraid of all of a sudden? Everybody knows to protect himself against the Yetzirah, and everybody knows what his Yetzirahs are. So he says, that's when the Yetzirah is the Yetzirah, not when he's acting like the Yetzirah. That's what I told you. Until he ends up being Ovid Avodah Zarah. You see how close he is to the interpretation I gave you in the name of the Gra? Moshekos of Rashi, Mirushalmi. For who neged pachat pisom ka'omur. Very interesting that according to the Pri Tzadik, it's an emphasis that we wouldn't necessarily have come to on our own. But according to the Pri Tzadik, the fact that he went to the Beis Medrash of Eiver is critical in the ability to withstand being in the house of Lavan, in spite of who Yaakov was when he left his father's house. It's a very remarkable thing. So some of Farshim say that's because in the Beis Medrash of Eiver, they learned Beferush how to deal with Lavan types, which wasn't necessary to know if he's living with a tzaddik called Yitzchak. You understand? So Memela, that particular Mahalach, the Derech Avodah, to fight the Yetzirah and to fight the Rishoyim and the Ramoyim, and you shouldn't be inspired by them even though you're in their midst, this was something that Tafka you had to learn in the Yeshiva Shel Eiver. But it doesn't necessarily mean that here. It could very well be that if his agenda is to go to the Yeshiva of Eiver, that gives him the koyach to continue and withstand the onslaught of a lover. Now, just one more thing that I wanted to finish with. What is this business that Lashon, what, I'm going to lose my faith in Hashem? I'm not going to lose my faith in Hashem. So it's an interesting Lashon. So he says as follows. The Yetzirah, it's a little bit like we talk about Paro. Paro is a shaliach of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? He's an instrument to do HaKadosh Baruch Hu's bidding. So why does he deserve to be punished? So there are different explanations. Baruch Hashem chooses such a type. But there are others who say that Paro may atzmai was moisif beyond what HaKadosh Baruch Hu asked of him. Here he talks not about Paro, but the Yetzirah. And he says a remarkable thing, because the Yetzirah, in the eyes of the Pri Tzadik, is like a personality. So he said, the Yetzirah is instructed by Hashem to try to trip up a person, to keep the balance and give him the Bechira, etc. And give him Schar on doing the good and overcoming the Yetzirah. But a lot of times he goes overboard and does a little bit extra on his own. Not what he was mitzuvah. Listen to the Lashon. He writes as follows. He points out what appears to be on the surface a contradiction in the Gemara itself. The Gemara says, if this mashchas tries to get you, bring him into the Beis Medrash. Mashma, that's the Eitzah. And once you fill the prescription, you'll win. So why does the Gemara say that the Yetzirah is overwhelming, and if it wouldn't be for Siyata Dishmaya, it would be impossible? Take him into the Beis Medrash. You just got the recipe. You have the prescription. So just take the medicine. Take him into the Beis Medrash. You'll be all right. Says Reb Tzadik HaKohen that you see from this Gemara that even in the Mashcheyu LeBeis HaMedrash, it wouldn't work except for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you Siyata D'Shmaya. So he wants to explain what that's all about. So he says, V'hainu. Masha Yetzirah Mizgara Ba'odah Me'atzma Yoyse Mimasha Nifkad Shal Shem Zen Nikra Rasha. Why is one of the names of the Yetzirah Rasha? He's a Malach like Gavriel and Raphael. Why should he be called a Rasha? Because he overdoes it. What he's saying is very fascinating because it follows certain categories of the Vilna Gaon that we learned about once upon a time, but he says it very differently. Be'emes, remember we spoke about Ta'avoni and Ka'asoni, remember? So he's not using those terms, and he's not even using exactly those ideas. But there is a me'ain of that kind of approach. Meaning as follows. Everybody has instincts. And those instincts are the Yetzer Hara. The taiva that a person has does not know kosher and treif. The taiva that a person has for physical inyonim does not know my wife, his wife. It doesn't know of these things. It just knows I want. That is a Yetzer Hara that you have to struggle against. That koyach ha-teva, that's mudba, that's his lashon, that's inside each person, that's something that is the Yetzer Hara's tafkid as Hashem has dictated it. Each person according to his koyches, each person according to his taivas. But then beyond that, the Yetzer Hara takes things into his own hands. On the previous, on all those instincts, you can fight it with Torah. But when the Yetzer Hara goes out of his way to undermine a person, then Torah itself is not enough. You need Siyata Dishmaya. Hashem lo yasvenu biyado she'ozer loy. Rak loy l'chol ozer HaKadosh Baruch Hu ela l'mi shemetzapel ozeh v'hu al yedei hatfilo l'hashluch yohavel Hashem. So the pre-tzaddik is saying here something very fundamental. He says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will not abandon a person. But there's a device, there's a tool which we have to employ when we implore HaKadosh Baruch Hu and we beg him and we daven to him and we ask him for help. He's always there to help. But it doesn't happen automatically. In other words, what he's suggesting is that if I don't seek out Hashem, then the Yetzer Hara, when he tries to overwhelm me, will actually win. No matter how much Torah I learn. The remarkable thing. And then he continues, and then you understand what he says, Esa Eina El Hara Ma'ayin Yovel Yezri. Amnam Bo Shmuel Av Shmuel Banachmul Lelamed Shebevadei Lo Yitztayir Al Toivis Ha'olam Azeh. He sees the following. He's going, and he's going to get married. And he has this Eliphaz come to him, and he cleans him out. And now he has nothing. So he felt that the Yetzer Hara is going out of his way to undermine him. It wasn't for the loss of his possessions that he was worried about. It was for the siman muvuk that provided, that it seems like HaKadosh Baruch Hu abandoned him to the fangs of the Yetzer Hara. How is he ever going without that Siyata Dishmaya? You know, just like you see Simonim for Siyata Dishmaya, you can see Simonim that seem to say that you don't have Siyata Dishmaya. So if he managed to take away all of his possessions, Oni Choshev Kemeis, how is he going to manage the Yetzer Hara in the house of Lavan? That was his question. Because he needs for that extra measure of antagonism that the Yetzer Hara goes out of his way on his own, he needs a special protection from Hashem, and he thinks he doesn't have the protection of Hashem. Because look what happened. The Hevi Raya. Shadayin lo yispani Yetzer Hara mikol v'chol, sharei hutzrach liten kol mamon le'alifaz, k'mo she'amru b'medrash. U'mizeh hirgish yankev shloi hoyo loy toirosoy l'rapoy ses Yetzer Hara mikol v'chol. He sees a tremendous nisayon, and he sees that all of his possessions were taken away. He interprets it that perhaps HaKadosh Baruch Hu is allowing the Yetzer Hara free reign to overdo it and to go after him and turn him into a lovan. Right? He says, why did I give away all my possessions? Why didn't I simply turn around and walk away and say, Esav cannot hurt me? So he said, the fact that I had such a chakira and I was willing to give away ani choshev kemeis all my money is the chesimin that the Yetzer Hara is still playing with me. V'alzeh nismar b'benafshoy, and that's what he says in the next paragraph. V'alzeh ramzu b'medrash rabba lesan amoyvet sivri min bir yela ezri mi Hashem ha'isish mayim v'aretz. Haynu shesoyvel u'merachim al kol anafoshes merum ha'mayla shenikru shamayim ad shfal ha'madrego shemuchunim v'aretz. He says, why does it say ezri mayim Hashem? Sometimes the Tzaddik HaKohen in a little you know, a little line that's in the middle of a big Torah says something very precious. Why do we say Ezri Meim Hashem Oisei Shamayim Varetz? Why dafka that description? So he says that Shamayim is Merachem on somebody who is in Madregas Aretz. That is that even if in the lowest of the low matzavim. So from Shmei Shamayim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Merachem. Merachem al kol ha-nefoshos mirum ha-mailush nikru Shamayim ad shfala madrega shemachunim aretz. Whether the person is on a very high madrega, close to Hashem, or a person is very distant from Hashem, but he's Merachem on him anyhow. Val zeh doshu v'chavta v'orba sh'nasecha shebazen izgaloloi shedibudovu k'mekusha v'Hashem yisbarach gam l'malo min adas v'seich l'odom beis Hashena. So what he says is that the remez that he got right away when he said when he had this nisayon with Eliphaz, he was lemaisa afraid of Esav. It proved to him that the Yetzer has not yet let go, and this is not enough the Torah that he learned. So he says, "I'm going to trust in Hashem," and when he davened to Hashem, he was able to prove that he was matzliach, that when he was mispashet from all of his armament, as it were, all of his ani, and you could tie it up, remember, like Purim is Yom Kippurim. Why is Purim? Because when a person gets drunk, his true personality comes out. When he's sleeping, the essence of him came out, and it was proven to be very pure. And that was for him the raya, that if in his dream he could see, Hinei Hashem Nitzav Olav, right, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with him 100%.